Today is the 24th day of June. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today. It's an honor, and I'm very grateful to be here with you today as we gather again. Another day, another step. I'm grateful that I could show up today. I'm grateful that you showed up today. We have showed up for each other as a community here around the Global Campfire. And off we go into the scriptures for the next step. And that leads us back into the book of 2 Kings. We're kind of traveling around through the kings, but also along with the prophetic ministry of Elisha, the prophet. 2 Kings, chapters 6 and 7. The sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "Please notice that the place where we live under your supervision is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan where we can each get a log and can build ourselves a place to live there." "Go," he said. Then one said, "Please come with your servants." "I'll come," he answered. So we went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, "Oh, my master, it was borrowed." And the man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, the man of God cut a piece of wood, threw it there, and made the iron float. Then he said, "Pick it up." So he reached out and took it. When the king of Aram was waging war against Israel, he conferred with his servants, "My camp will be at such and such a place." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Be careful passing by this place, for the Arameans are going down there." Consequently, the king of Israel sent word to the place the man of God had told him about. The man of God repeatedly warned the king so the king would be on his guard. The king of Aram was enraged because of this matter, and he called his servants and demanded of them, "Tell me, which one of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "No one, my lord the king. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in your bedroom." So the king said, "Go and see where he is, so I can send men to capture him." When he was told Elisha is in Dothan, he sent horses, chariots, and a massive army there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. So he asked Elisha, "Oh, my master, what are we to do?" Elisha said, "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, please open his eyes and let him see." So the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Arameans came against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Please strike this nation with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, according to Elisha's word. Then Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you're looking for." And he led them to Samaria. When they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "Lord, open these men's eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw that they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "Should I kill them? Should I kill them, my father?" Elisha replied, "Don't kill them. Do you kill those you have captured with your sword or your bow? Set food and water in front of them so they can eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared a big feast for them. When they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. The Aramean raiders did not come into Israel's land again. Sometime later, King Ben-Hadad of Aram brought all his military units together and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. So there was a severe famine in Samaria, and they continued the siege against it until a donkey's head sold for 34 ounces of silver, and a cup of dove's dung sold for 2 ounces of silver. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, "My lord, the king, help!" He answered, "If the Lord doesn't help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor or the wine press?" Then the king asked her, "What's the matter?" She said, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son and we will eat him today. Then we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her the next day, 'Give up your son and we will eat him.' But she has hidden her son." When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his clothes. And as he was passing by on the wall, the people saw that there was sackcloth under his clothes next to his skin. He announced, "May God punish me and do so severely if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today." Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. The king sent a man ahead of him, but before the messenger got to him, Elisha said to the elders, "Do you see how this murderer has sent someone to remove my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door to keep him out. Isn't the sound of his master's feet behind him?" While Elisha was still speaking with them, the messenger came down to him. Then he said, "This disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Elisha replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow at Samaria's gate, 6 quarts of fine flour will sell for a 1/2 ounce of silver, and 12 quarts of barley will sell for 1/2 ounce of silver." Then the captain, the king's right-hand man, responded to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord were to make windows in heaven, could this really happen?" Elisha announced, "You will in fact see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it." Now 4 men with a skin disease were at the entrance to the city gate. They said to each other, "Why just sit here until we die? If we say, 'Let's go into the city,' we will die there because the famine is in the city. But if we sit here, we will also die. So now, come on, let's surrender to the Arameans' camp. If they let us live, we will live. If they kill us, we will die." So the diseased men got up at twilight to go to the Arameans' camp. When they came to the camp's edge, they discovered that no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Aramean camp to hear the sounds of chariots, horses, and a large army. The Arameans had said to each other, "The king of Israel must have hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to attack us." So they had gotten up and fled at twilight, abandoning their tents, horses, and donkeys. The camp was intact, and they had fled for their lives. When these diseased men came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent to eat and drink. Then they picked up the silver, gold, and clothing and went off and hid them. They came back and entered another tent, picked things up, and hid them. Then they said to each other, "We are not doing what is right. Today is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning light, our punishment will catch up with us. So let's go tell the king's household." The diseased men came and called to the city's gatekeepers and told them, "We went to the Aramean camp and no one was there. No human sounds. There was nothing but tethered horses and donkeys, and the tents were intact." The gatekeepers called out, and the news was reported to the king's household. So the king got up in the night and said to his servants, "Let me tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we are starving, so they have left the camp to hide in the open country, thinking, when they come out of the city, we will take them alive and go into the city. But one of his servants responded, please let messengers take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. Their fate is like the entire Israelite community who will die. So let's send them and see. The messengers took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army, saying, go and see. So they followed them as far as the Jordan. They saw that the whole way was littered with clothes and equipment the Arameans had thrown off in their haste. The messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the Aramean camp. It was then that 6 quarts of fine flour sold for 1/2 ounce of silver, and 12 quarts of barley sold for 1/2 ounce of silver, according to the word of the Lord. The king had appointed the captain, his right-hand man, to be in charge of the city gates. But the people trampled him in the gates. He died, just as the man of God had predicted when the king had come to him. When the man of God had said to the king, about this time tomorrow, 12 quarts of barley will sell for 1/2 ounce of silver, and 6 quarts of fine flour will sell for 1/2 ounce of silver at Samaria's gates, this captain had answered the man of God, look, even if the Lord were to make windows in heaven, could this really happen? Elisha had said, you will in fact see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it. This is what happened to him. The people trampled him in the city gates, and he died. Acts 15:36 through 16:15. After some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers and sisters in every town where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take along John, who was called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, after being commended by the brothers and sisters to the grace of the Lord. He traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. The brothers and sisters at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled through the towns, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem for the people to observe. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, cross over to Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of the district of Macedonia. We stayed in that city for several days. On the Sabbath day, We went outside the city gate by the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women gathered there. A God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. After she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Psalm 142. A cry of distress, a masculine of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry aloud to the Lord. I plead aloud to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. I reveal my trouble to him. Although my spirit is weak within me, you know my way. Along this path I travel. They have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, no one stands up for me. There is no refuge for me. No one cares about me. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my shelter, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am very weak. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Free me from prison, so that I can praise your name. The righteous will gather around me, because you deal generously with me. Proverbs 17:24-25. Wisdom is the focus of the perceptive, but a fool's eyes roam to the ends of the earth. A foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him. Okay, a couple things. First of all, the book of Acts. So it's so very interesting. Paul's missionary journey here and where he is going, because this is the first time around since we went and kind of traced these steps ourselves and filmed these places. And those films, they will show up in your app today. The places that we are talking about, like Lystra, the hometown of Timothy. And we'll get to know Timothy, because there's some letters to Timothy that are in the Bible directly to him. And they go through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. These are regions that we had visited and seen some of the, well, what it looked like there. They end up in Troas. The ruins of Troas, right there on the coast, are visible until this day. And you can see that today. Paul has this vision at Troas where a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him to cross over to Macedonia, which is the other side of the sea there. And so they do make those plans and end up in Neapolis. So, Troas is in modern-day Turkey. Neapolis is in modern-day Greece. They cross over and land in Neapolis. And I remember well, standing there, looking out over it from Neapolis, realizing this is where the Apostle Paul set foot on the land and continued forward to Philippi, which is also a city. And there's a book of the Bible, right? Paul's letter to the Philippians. All of these places are very much real places. And Paul then meets a woman named Lydia, who becomes this first converts on the land, and she was over there doing trading. She was a trader in purple cloth, so very exquisite, high-end fabric, like very, like royal high-end fabric is what she dealt in. So she's a very successful, probably very wealthy businesswoman. She becomes a believer in Jesus, and man, the stream where she's baptized, like the whole place is venerated, and you can see it until this day, which you'll be able to see in the films that we made. And she had come from the city of Thyatira, which is back in modern day Turkey, one of the seven churches that Jesus writes to in the book of Revelation. So all of these things are, these places are real. I've seen them with my own eyes. And as I'm reading through at this point, I'm like, yep, every single, like I remember every single one of these places. And so that context very much snaps into place for me as I'm reading through. And we filmed all these places so that they could snap into place for you as well. And so if you have the Daily Audio Bible app, be sure to check that out. But then let's back up into 2 Kings. So the Arameans are attacking the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel, the city of Samaria. And things had gotten so bad that the people in Samaria were, I mean, they were eating the dead to sustain their lives. And the prophet Elisha makes this impossible claim: by this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, right, there will be plenty. No one believes Elisha. How could that happen? Like, they were facing inhumane circumstances. Meanwhile, there are four leprous men who are outside the city gate waiting to die. So they can move around. They're not locked into the city. But they're gonna die, and so they reason to themselves, we're gonna starve if we stay here. But if we go into the city, we're gonna die because we'll starve if we go there. So we're going to die if we do nothing. Let's go surrender to the Aramean army. We might die, but we might live. But we're going to die anyway. So like, that is the only move we have that has any small percent of chance that we might survive. And so that's what they do. And when they reach the edge of the Aramean camp, there's no sound. Nobody's there. The Arameans had heard what sounded like a mighty army. God had caused this to happen, and they fled, thinking that they were about to be destroyed by a mighty army. And so they left everything behind. So it's like this, well, they were bandits, they were raiders. So it's like a Bedouin ghost town out there. And so the men go into one tent and eat and feast and grab plunder. They go into another tent and they continue eating and feasting and grabbing things and hiding them and burying them. And then it kind of hits them, and they say some really interesting, really compelling, really important words. What we're doing isn't right, because this is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. And so they go back, and word gets to the king, and sure enough, the next day, in the markets of Samaria, there is plenty, exactly as Elisha had prophesied. But to let it be a mirror into our lives, we should just take a second to consider these leprous men, because they have the lesson for us. They have gone out and become whole again. They're not starving anymore. They're not poor anymore. They have treasure, they have plenty, and they have hidden it. I mean, in a metaphorical sense, we have lived in a world that feels under siege. We have seen, we have seen what humanity at its worst is capable of. But God came in person and initiated a rescue of humanity through Jesus. And we often find ourselves in this role of the leprous men in the story. We feast upon and hide within the treasure of the gospel while looking out at this barbaric world that we often live in, seeing the worst of humanity and pretending the worst of humanity isn't also possible within ourselves. These leprous men who have found new life, they hold the key. They said to each other, "What we're doing isn't right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone." And so what does that look like for us? Like, doesn't necessarily mean go out and stand on a street corner. Maybe it does. Maybe you hand paint a sign and stand on the street corner. Maybe that's what you're to do. More than likely, though, this is about the way that we actually live our lives today. Are we a living testimony to the good news of the rescue? Because we were, as it were, in a walled city, starving to death, becoming inhumane, doing things that are as dark as it gets, in absolute, utter bondage, completely broken, completely dissociated from ourselves and from God. And then by this time tomorrow, the good news has come and we feast upon it. Do our lives in any way reflect the shift that has happened because of Jesus? Because this is a day of good news. And if our lives don't show that, then we are not sharing that with anyone. And so, Holy Spirit, that's a very different thing for every different story represented in this community here. For each and every one of us, it's a different story. But you are the same Spirit of truth. And so we invite you to lead and guide us into all truth, that we might not hide what we've been given and do not deserve. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, our home base, as we know. And we know we've been moving into a brand new space that is our future and is now our home. Mentioned yesterday a second update, 2.0.2, has been released. Make sure that you grab that. That fixes a couple of things. One, it adds an error casting kind of button, especially in iOS. If you want to cast what's playing onto a speaker or wherever, Bluetooth, etc., that is incorporated now. VoiceOver is fully implemented now for those of us here with vision challenges. So we are really happy for that. Very, very glad for that. And then there was an issue that has been fixed where, if you're listening to Daily Audio Bible and then you take a call or you go do something else and come back to it, then it starts over. It didn't remember where you were. That has been addressed and fixed, and so man, we're pretty well stabilized, and very glad for that. So make sure you grab the latest update. Let's see, the Daily Audio Bible Shop, we released a brand new resource, the Spiritual Connection Cards. Talked about that quite a bit. Just letting you know that we did sell out of them, but you can still order them, and we encourage you to do that because the next shipment is getting already spoken for. We should have those, and we will ship them immediately. You can still order those in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. And then, yeah, there is a special day coming up in a little less than 2 weeks. 2 weeks from yesterday. The 7th of July is our Daily Audio Bible holiday. We call it the Long Walk. And it was 20 years ago, believe it or not, that this sort of originated. There was an event here in Nashville, in our stadium. It was like a prayer event where we did a lot of a walk, a big prayer walk, and then into the stadium. And what was interesting about that particular day, because you got to remember, we're going back 20 years now, and so technology is 20 years earlier. This event was kind of televised, and so it was interesting because social media is just starting. And so, you know, we're in that event and it's being watched all over the world. And there's kind of this, you know, there's chatting going on kind of in the prayer wall area and with that we had all the way back then. And then posts on social media, all of a sudden, in a more real-time way than we had ever done before, we were interacting. And that really, really did something in this community. The technology has obviously continued forward, but we had done that prayer walk, and so this long walk kind of got its impetus from that. The idea is really simple. It's the middle of the year. It's time for a reset. What if we took a day off? What if we went somewhere beautiful and got outside in nature, listened to the birds, slowed down enough to see the squirrels and the bunnies and whatever else is around, maybe the deer, depending on where you are. Just all of the life that we share on this earth and the beauty of the nature, the breeze and the leaves. What if we slow down and go for a long walk to regroup, but also to go for a long walk with God and walk as if we're walking with somebody that we are deeply in love with and who is deeply in love with us. The kind of walk where you lose track of time. Actually, time stands still. It just doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Where you can say everything that you need to say, everything that is on your mind and heart, everything that's going on in your life, say it out loud, say it to God. And then listen. Have a dialogue. Listen. What if God has been waiting forever for you to give some undivided attention? Man, what would that do? To say what you need to say and hear what you need to hear. And regroup. You might think that you're losing a day, but you'll be gaining so much more than a day. I mean, so much more than a day. We'll pay so many bigger dividends as we go through the rest of the year. So make plans for that. That is obviously a very individual thing, very contemplative thing. There's music that we have created that is really, really incorporated well into the long walk. You can find that on the music tab in the new app. It's the Heart, the Songs of the Heart album. A record that I wrote really to address my own emotions, to speak with music in a way that I couldn't put into words, a way that brings those emotions to the front and allows access to them as we pray. So that is a resource that is available. Go for a long walk, and as contemplative and individual as it is, you'll know that there are thousands and thousands of people around the world also walking. And wherever you go, and whatever you do, maybe take a picture of where you are, or take a selfie, or maybe a little video of what's going on. We will make a long walk post it to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Audio Bible, and you can comment in that post and post your pictures and your comments, like what happened during the day. And what's beautiful about that is, as we all get done with our long walks, we can come there and look at yours, and it becomes this little open window into each other's lives, but also this beautiful view of what a day looks like all over the world. And I love that. I look at every single one of those, and inspires me. I love it deeply, so I'm looking forward to that. Make plans for the Daily Audio Bible Long Walk for 2026 on the 7th day of July. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and served piping hot freely to anyone, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around the rhythm of showing up every day, showing up for each other, showing up for ourselves, if that is life-giving to you, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, family. It's Soaring on Eagle's Wings from Canada. I have been so behind with my prayers. However, I'm trying to catch up. And today I heard Lydia calling about her brother-in-law, Andy, with this aggressive cancer in his sinuses and neck. Abba, Father, you know everything about it. You know where it is, why it cannot be treated with surgery or radiation, and they're starting chemotherapy in order to decrease this tumor, and so he can have either of the others. But you are the divine physician. You know everything about it, and you can make a miracle where there seems to be none available. So Father, step right into this situation now and relieve Andy of this aggressive tumor, whether miraculously or through the doctors. Be with his family, his wife, his sister-in-law, all of them who are so concerned and are praying for him. Strengthen them, Lord, and help them to hold on tight as you perform your miracle. And I think it's Hanny from California. I'm not sure about your name. But you called in to say a prayer for me. And oh, goodness, girl, it is so needed. I'm struggling with my neuropathy and neuralgia. And so I thank you for praying. And may the Lord bless you and all that is needed in your life, He will bring about. Thank you so much.
Today is June 19th, and I have to thank Brian deeply for his words after the reading today. Yesterday I had to put my cat, my baby boy, the love of my heart and soul to sleep, and his words could not have been more perfectly timed than they were today after the reading about going through a broken heart and not being able to see the end of it just yet. I just want to thank you so much, Brian. These are the words I needed to hear so much today. Because right now I am so broken, so lost, and just so completely shattered. So once again, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for those words you spoke. Words that I truly needed to hear today.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible Family. This is Mary from the UK. I'd first of all like to say a big thank you to Brian, Jill and Ezekiel for their faithful daily ministry. I just love listening to each of you. You have such different gifts and strengths. Thank you. Thank you also to all those amazing prayer warriors and for all of you who pray quietly in the background. Thank you also for all those amazing answers to prayer that we hear. Daily Audio Bible Family, the reason I'm ringing in tonight is to ask you to pray for my two-year-old grandson. He was admitted to hospital 5 days ago with tonsillitis. His tonsils and adenoids are so swollen that when he goes to sleep, his airway gets blocked. He's having oxygen overnight and is due to have his tonsils and adenoids removed tomorrow. He did have a similar operation just over a year ago when he was very sick. Please pray that the surgery goes well, everything is safe, and that he has a speedy recovery. The other reason for ringing is that we have a major gas leak in the centre of Bristol, which is near to the hospital. Please pray that staff can get home safely, other staff can get in to do their work, and that the whole of the city of Bristol is safe. Thank you, family. It's just so amazing to be able to reach out to you when we need your support. Bless you all, each and every one of you. Bye.
Hi, DAB family. This is Mary from North Carolina. It is Friday, June the 19th. I just got through listening to today's devotional and Brian's commentary, and I thank you, Brian, for just your insight and wisdom on expounding on the scriptures. And when you talked about being in exile, it just hit home, because it just seems like the last 4 or 5 years I've been in exile on many fronts, with family, with friends, and now even faith communities that I've been a part of. And it just seems like sometimes when you have to be strong, that you just don't let it all out. And since I was 4 years old, I have been having to kind of deal with some form of exile, you know, throughout my life. But, you know, I just really appreciate you understanding where a person can be. And I just felt like God came alongside of me and sat with me this morning just to comfort me and let me know that I'm not by myself. He knows exactly where I am and what I'm feeling. And this too will pass. This is not the end of my story, but it's an opportunity for God to get the glory out of where I am. I'm praying for everybody out there. I've heard everybody's prayers. And like I said, I may not call in to specifically do individuals, but no, you are being covered in prayer every day and lifted before the throne, that every need is met according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You all be blessed. Love you all. Have a good weekend. Love and peace and blessings.
Hello, my name is Mike. I go by the name Psalm 139:14, and I'm from Salem, Oregon. And I just called in today to give a little testimonial. A few days ago, I went down to the gym, started doing my workout routine, when this young woman, she walked up to me and said, "Excuse me, this might sound a little weird, but I was wondering if I could pray for you." And, well, it kind of took me by surprise, and I said, "Sure, absolutely, yeah, you could pray for me." And so she asked me what my name was. I asked her her name, and then she asked if she could lay her hand on my shoulder, and then she said a prayer for me. And, well, it really took me by surprise because, you know, there's people that are in my own church that don't even offer that type of stuff. And here's this complete stranger out in public who goes and asks me that. And I know that without even questioning that she did that because the Lord told her to do it. And so it really showed me that as how much, as Christians, how much we should be doing that for each other, and just praying for people. And that's one thing that I love about this community, is that everybody takes the time to listen to people's prayer requests and say prayers for them. And I really love that. I really love hearing everybody's prayers, and I pray for each and every one of you. And so I just wanted to share that. God bless you and have a nice day.
Hi, DAB family. My name is Megumi from Jakarta, Indonesia. You can call me Meg. Today is June 19th, and I would like to pray for Lisa, the encourager. Lisa, I was so sorry to hear about your breast cancer diagnosis. My heart broke when I heard the news. I can only imagine how overwhelming this season must feel. I pray that God will strengthen you, comfort you, and surround you with His peace. I also pray that you'll never feel alone in this journey. Please know that you're deeply loved and being prayed for by your DAB family around the world. I would also like to share a praise report. About a month ago, I called and asked for prayer because I really needed a job. For nearly 4 years, I've been involved in a legal battle over my family home after it became the target of a land mafia scheme. After recently receiving an unfavorable final court decision, I had lost almost all of my savings. I had also been applying for jobs for months without success. Well, guess what? Yesterday was my first day at work, and the amazing thing is that it's a job I didn't even apply for. God opened the door unexpectedly and provided a wonderful opportunity with a very kind-hearted boss who also happens to be a friend from church. God answered my prayer so specifically. He gave me exactly what I needed and even things I didn't even dare ask for. I'm so grateful for His kindness and faithfulness. So thank you, DAB family, for praying for me. I thank God for all of you, and I'm praying for you as well. I love you all.